My theme today is Jesus' authority, which was what was on the list. And I just want to start with you on Mark chapter 2, verse 27. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." And so right at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, Jesus is introduced. He's different than all the religious leaders they've had before. And it's different because he has authority. As they listened to him preach, they thought, this man knows what he's talking about. He has authority. But then, of course, they get what they're not expecting. He demonstrates it. Some demon-possessed man shouts out in the meeting, and Jesus just says, "Shut up!" And the demon, not the man, shuts up. And then, of course, he casts the demon out. Later in the passage we've read, we see him healing sicknesses. He says to a leper, "Be clean." You might notice how often we would pray for someone like that. If you did dare reach out your hand and touch a leper, we'd say, "Lord, will you heal our friend here who has leprosy?" Jesus doesn't do that, does he? He uses authority. He says, "Be clean." And if you're going to start to learn to pray for healing, things like that, you have to start to use your authority. And we could, if we had time, which we don't, because I'm trying to be better on my timing this week, and I did start a timer, which I hope is working. Yes, it is. And if you read the rest of the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus took authority over storms and all kinds of other things, didn't he? If we had time, we could list those off. But I want to go, in a sense, to what does it mean for us that Jesus has authority? And what it means to us is this. And it meant this for his own disciples. Jesus was what we would call an empowering leader. Lots of leaders, you think, what a great leader, but they don't empower you to do what you should be doing, do they? That's a weakness, and I've certainly failed in that many times in my leadership. But if we read on in the Gospels, we come to Luke 9, where it says, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So here he gives that authority to the 12. And you say, yeah, but they're the 12 apostles, Paul. But a little bit later on, in the same I think it's in the same gospel, Luke's gospel, he then commissions 72, who we don't even know their names. And he sends them with the same authority to heal sicknesses and to deliver captives. And the, it's almost like this, there we go, I've got a slide the wrong way around. But if we come to the end of Matthew's Gospel, in what we know as the Great Commission, we read these words. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Jesus commissions every follower that will come after those early Christians. And he commissions them to do everything, to teach everything and obey everything I've commanded you. Now, what did he command those early disciples? To heal the sick, to free the captives. That commission has been extended to you and to me. And we've got to learn to do it. And I've got a little illustration to start off with, which will put a smile on your face. Let's just see if I've got time to do this. Come on, phone.
You don't need to be quite so paranoid.
No, I do, Steve. I'm determined to try and hit 15 minutes today. And the reason we've been in Hull is because we've got a grandson who's now nearly 6 months old. But tragically, his mother, during the pregnancy, was diagnosed with MS. And so Joan mainly, with a little bit of support from me, go up regularly to support the mother so she could help care for her baby. So that's what we've been doing. But when they realised all this, they had a little dog called Sammy. who is part Jack Russell and part Yorkshire Terrier. Now, as I tell you this, you need to know that they asked us if we could care for this little dog for a few months at least. But you need to know that I've never had a dog. Didn't grow up with them. I'm not a doggy man. Sam is a lovely little dog, and everything was fine for a few weeks, and eventually I let Sammy off the lead and things like that, particularly on the playing field, if you know where it is. But one night, I was coming back a bit late, it was about an hour and a half till dusk, I would have said, back in September, October time, and I thought, Sammy needs a bit of a run out, I'll call at the Congleton Edge. It's a nice walk along the Congleton Edge. I'll go part of the way along and then just come back. And foolishly, I let Sammy off the lead. Now, those who are knowledgeable about dogs and understand what a Jack Russell is like, will understand the problem I had. Because when I got to the second section, if you know the, we went down, I was just going down to this bit of wood. But of course there were squirrels. And as soon as Sammy saw and heard the squirrel, she went off like a rocket. And no matter of shouting, calling, standing on my head, doing anything else would get her back. It's like she just ignored me. And it was getting near to dark. I rang Joan. Joan got upset. It's not our dog. We've lost our son's dog. I was nearly going to ring Daniel and said, will you speak over the phone and tell this dog to come back? Because at the end of the day, I did not have authority over that dog. I needed dog training. Eventually, she got tired, and eventually I managed to, with some ingenuity, get her back on the lead. But I thought I was spending the night on the Congleton Edge. And yeah, I went on the field after that and practiced dog training, but I did a lot of dog training lessons. But a friend of mine who was really good with dogs said to me, you know, when they train dog training, Paul, they don't train the dog, they train the owner. And he said, the problem you had, that dog thinks it's head of the pack. That dog's got to know you're the head of the pack. And so that was a lesson. But I want to, in a sense, apply that to what I'm doing today. And I just want to read to you this scripture. Here we go. It's in Mark 1:34. Because the demons knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. Now, the thing about Jesus was, even the demons knew who he was, because identity leads to authority. In a sense, I wasn't really the owner of that dog. I suffered with identity. But when Jesus took authority, he knew his identity. And a few weeks ago, we actually talked about identity. And I'm just going to share, in a sense, a second illustration today, and then I will finish, Steve. Because I had to learn to take authority, not just with a dog, but with the things that Jesus wanted me to learn to take authority. And I had to learn that lesson when I was first ordained. Now, I have shared some of this message, a little bit of it, with the 11 o'clock service back in November the 26th. And if you want to listen to that, it's still on the website, I've discovered, November the 26th, 11 o'clock. And when I've been ordained about a year or so, I've always suffered with fear and anxiety in my life, and I share in that talk how it got there. But eventually it went into depression and panic attacks. I had to go to the doctor. And eventually, it was so bad, I was wondering whether I would be able to continue as an ordained person. I wasn't able to do my job, I couldn't drive a car, I was in a mess. And although the doctor, you know, was going to prescribe this and that and the other, I felt the Holy Spirit said that he was going to sort this out, and he was going to sort me out. And I went to see some old friends, the other side of the city. We were in Coventry, where I come from. And these friends, fortunately, by divine providence, we would say, were being visited by some very anointed Christians who knew how to pray with authority. And they quickly discerned that one of the things that was causing me a lot of problem, I was really oppressed by a spirit of fear, the fear of death. And they took authority and came against that fear. I didn't roll on the floor or anything, you know, dramatic. But when the next morning, I knew something had left. For the first time in my life, that gripping fear of death was not there. But I had lots of other fears and anxieties. So I had to learn to take authority for myself. Those people knew how to take authority. And into my hands came a book by a famous Bible teacher called Derek Prince. Anyone here ever heard of Derek Prince? Raise your hand if you have. Well, the rest of you are missing out. You need to read his books. Top Bible teacher. But in this particular book, he talked about God's medicine bottle. The 11 o'clock service got pictures to go with this, by the way, including the dog pictures. This phone is going to go off in a minute. And I just want to read to you the text that that Derek Prince based what he learned. He was suffering from a chronic skin complaint. It was in the Second World War. He was in Egypt, and he wasn't healing. He was a new Christian, and he believed God healed, wanted to heal him. And he studied the Bible. He was a very clever man. And he came, in his study of healing, to this passage in the book of Proverbs. "My child, be attentive to my words, to my sayings. Incline your ear. May they not escape from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to the entire body." And I realised that if God would use the scriptures, the particular scriptures, to heal him of a physical complaint, he could do it for my fears and anxiety and depression. And I began to search the scriptures, and God gave me about 9 scriptures. And I'm just going to end by sharing a couple of them which were key with you. Here's 2 of my tablets. And where's the Bible, Steve? Wait, I know you've got it. Hold it up. Wave it up. Yeah, well, wave it up for them. Got 2 minutes left. Hold it up.
You're fine. We've got 5, 7 minutes.
Wave it to them. This is a medicine chest. But you would not go down to the chemist and take all those tablets off his shelves. You need the specific medicine for what you're suffering with. But you've got the access to it if you own a Bible. Thank you, Steve. So here were 2 of my tablets, which I'm just going to end with. And one is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and self-control." I'll repeat it. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and self-control. But the fears were running all over me, like the dogs that I couldn't control. And Jesus said to me, I want you to learn to take authority over them. You can't just keep going running back to those people who prayed with you. You've got to learn for yourself." And that was a 3-month journey for me, and I began to find that I had to learn to take authority to tell those things, and they used to come at me first thing in the morning. "Stop, in the name of Jesus, I'm not having this. I'm in control." Jesus is in control, in fact. But then it gave me another verse which is key for me, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And this is from the book of Daniel, an obscure verse, and it's from the Good News Translation. It says this: "Once more he took hold of me and I felt stronger. He said, God loves you, so don't let anything worry you or frighten you." And I had a problem with my identity in Christ. I didn't feel God loved me. And I was ordained. I quote from Brennan Manning. "Before Peter was clothed with the mantle of authority, Jesus asked him, not once, but 3 times, do you love me? The question is not only poignant, but revelatory. If authority is given, it must be based on the love of Jesus. And Jesus said, you don't believe I love you." And I had to confess, make a declaration of that verse, day after day, often many times in the day, taking my medicine. And as I did, I began to know, there it is, see if it'll stop. I began to know that Jesus loved me. And as I stood in that authority, confident that Jesus loved me, I could tell those fears to leave and stop harassing me in the name of Jesus. And here's a sort of prayer I would have prayed, or a declaration. I speak to any worry, stress or anxiety, and I say, you cannot stay. Peace rules in this temple. And that was based on another one of my tablets from Isaiah 26. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, imagination is stayed on thee. And my concluding question to each one of us, and are still things I've got to work on, is where do you need to use Jesus' authority in your life? Where do you need to learn to use it? Are you confident of your identity in Christ? Could you say to me, I know Jesus loves me? Or would you hesitate? As we were praying, I just want to share this. I felt there might be somebody here today that Jesus actually wants to underline that. He says to you, he wants to make a proposal of marriage to you. There might be one person that's here for. And if that's you, perhaps talk to Steve or let us pray with you afterwards. But I want to end. I've brought a few resources. I've got a copy of God's Medicine Bottle and one or two other things about meditation. And if you'd like to say, I think that would help me, I'll be down here with the ministry people at the end of the service. And I'd love to pray with you as well. Thank you for listening. God bless you.